Have you ever been truly in love? Now, what does that really mean? How do you know if you're truly in love? You know, in full disclosure, I know people who seem to fall in and out of love the way the weather changes. I never quite do understand it. Like, they change relationships a lot, or they fall in and out of love, and I'm always wondering, is that really love? Or what is that really? You know, I mean, I guess you probably all ask the same question. I don't know. And then, of course, when you find this love, what is it? I mean, is this a soulmate? I hear that a lot too with people. A soulmate. That's my soulmate. I've been, you know, this. I hear, and I wonder, what does that really mean? What is a soulmate? And what happens if you lose this quasi soulmate? What happens then? In other words, you separate. But somebody who you really, really, truly love. I guess what I'm drilling down to here is a broken heart. How do you get over a broken heart? Now, very, very interesting. I find this a fascinating conversation, people, for men and women. I think the men can hopefully learn something from this. I know I hope to learn today from the ladies here, but there's a very interesting Japanese term called takotsubo. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. That sounds really good. You see, that's how the Japanese talk. Takotsubo. Okay, I get you. That's Malcolm Out Loud here. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2 here. We are on today with Linda Martinelli. Linda's an entrepreneur, owner, president of Performer Graphic Print Source, and the new co-host of Talkin' While Married with Dr. Ron Martinelli. Look forward to that show and find out more about that on America Out Loud. Jenna Smith is here. Jenna is a psychotherapist, a coach, human being expert. She's the creator of You Are the Manual. Missy Crutchfield is here. She's co-founder of Gandhi's Bee Magazine and of Gandhi Global Center for Peace. Ladies, broken hearts. What constitutes a broken heart, and can you actually get over it? Now, let me just disclose something. In this very interesting study again, they call it broken heart syndrome. All right. And it's, you know, we hear that sometimes. We hear these different things about, you know, I was in love, or I met my soulmate, or somebody I, you know, just, it's my twin. I'm going to be with them forever. And then something happens. Maybe there's a separation or something, and then somebody suffers from it. And I wonder, how do you really get over that? Now, what's interesting about this study is it goes on that scientifically, there's a weakening of the left ventricle in your heart, your main pumping chamber in your heart. I mean, this is scientific now. Very intense emotional stress. It releases this stress in your body. So scientifically, there's a scientific reason as to why the ventricle is in trouble, why this you're having trouble pumping the heart from your left ventricle there, right? But yet, psychologically and mental, it's something that's impacting you, but then health-wise, it does take a toll on you. Now, that's interesting, ladies, for this reason. I have read plenty of qualified studies and information out there from people, and I think it's pretty well documented, that people who are in beautiful, happy, really committed, wonderful relationships, I mean, there's a theory to that, that they tend to be happier and live longer than when they are connected with that other person versus somebody who never connects with anybody, you know. But then again, I think of my old Aunt Tilly, who was a miserable old gal and never connected with anybody. What does that really mean, Linda, right?
She lived forever, didn't she?
Exactly, my point. So, yeah, then you get Aunt Tilly, right? Oh, man, she's a nasty old critter, and she was like 142 or something, I think. I don't know, but...
And that cliche, the good die young, right?
Oh, what about that, Missy, huh? Is that any truth to that, love? The good die young?
Aunt Tilly might be speak to that because she lived a long time, right? She was mean.
Yeah, that's it. You just never know. I mean, it is kind of funny that way. But there is something about this, I think, from a a mental aspect in your brain and the way you feel compared to how it impacts your health. I think, I mean, I would argue the fact that I do believe our mental condition and how we, the outlook we have and who we're connected with absolutely shapes our health and well-being. Yeah. Jenna, you want to speak to that point?
Yeah, well, you know, it's this, I love this topic. I love this whole thing. There's actually so much research. I'm not going to geek out on everyone, but there's so much research about the heart and longevity from a place called the HeartMath Institute. And when they've studied different indigenous cultures around the world, they'll see those that have practices of forgiveness, oneness within the community, like an interaction with the community, whether they have a partner or not. There's this ability to love tied with like health, vitality, and longevity. So like it's the fact that they have some actual science on, this is something when I work with people, I know this happens. Like I know that they are physically affected. If you don't deal with something on the emotional level, it moves into your body.
Yeah.
To get your attention. We've talked about this before, but this is happening on, in physical reality so that we can actually measure it and look at it and use our science hats and go, yeah, oh, it's real because it's science. You know what I mean? But, right. You know, you ask anyone with a broken heart and they're like, oh, it's hard to breathe. And I can't breathe. It's hurting. There's a pressure on my chest and all of this kind of thing. So this all feels incredibly timely that we actually look at what's been happening the whole time. So there's absolute correlation between our emotional health and regardless of whether it's broken heart from a romantic relationship, I think those are actually two different things. You know, you could break your heart from different things, but that they are absolutely correlated and that there are things to do to emotionally protect your health, to do things on an emotional level to stay healthy.
You know, 3 years ago, I was in the emergency room and I was going in for a, you know, that lovely thing that you have when you turn 50, it's the colonoscopy, right? And so I had to have just a standard kind of EKG and I hadn't had one in a while. So I was just going through those basic tests and they said, we're calling an ambulance to take you to the emergency room. We think you're having a heart attack. And I start freaking out and I'm going, you know, I'm vegan, I'm in yoga, I'm all of this, it's impossible, it's impossible. And they said, well, you know,
Missy, those are the people that die young, the ones that are super healthy, do the yoga, the yoga, and those are the ones who never live long, by the way. Just a message to you.
Stop it.
Have a couple of cheeseburgers, love, and load the cheese and the bacon on, you'll live longer. Go ahead.
I'm not going to eat the death and the pain of other creatures, by the way. Anyway. So I'm like, no way. But they said, well, you have to sign this basically so that there won't be any legal ramifications for the hospital, blah, 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 for the doctor's office. So I signed, you know, I'm in my good mind. I'm saying I don't want an ambulance. I'm going on. And they said, if you feel funny, check yourself in the emergency room. And I'm like, well, now I'm starting to feel funny because you're telling me you think I'm having a heart attack and all. So I went, I drove myself and I got in and I just, thank you, God. I got the best physician. She had just moved in. She had a holistic practice in North Carolina. She also combined traditional. She was at the emergency room of one of our wonderful hospitals. And she started using all of her talents, her holistic plus her traditional, to diagnose me. She said, you're not having a heart attack. What you're having is a severe anxiety attack, which shows the same symptoms as heart attack. And she said, you know, talk to me. So, you know, I talked to her for a few minutes and she said, do you realize that every time you mention your son's name, you cry? And at that time, for about a year or more, my son and I had just been fighting. He had been, you know, a teenager and he's 20 now, but the teens were very, very hard on us. They're hard on boys and single parenting and all of that. And my heart was just broken. And so I'm just saying, you know, it had nothing to do with a love relationship, except it did have to do with a love relationship. The love of my life is my son. But yeah, you have to feel connected and reciprocal kind of, you know, bonding with a community, with a family, with loved ones, with friends, whatever it is, because, you know, our heart is more than just pumping. And I think Jenna was speaking to this, more than just pumping, you know, blood. It's more than just a muscle. We don't even understand because we put so much value on our mind and our thinking, which, by the way, I think really screws up society more. We need to think more from our heart or feel more from our heart or move in the world more from our heart.
you something passionate. You know, you think there's all of this kind of thing that motivates us to actually move into action. And the mind is just the car. So if you don't have the thing to fuel the car, you're not really going to get anywhere. You know, those analysis paralysis people that just sit there and think about it and tinker around. Yeah. So when you don't have the heart mind connection with your body, then it's all not working very well, but they need to work together. But yeah, there is actually science to back it up now.
There is. And you know, sure. Jenna, I think it's heart, mind, and also your gut. You know, your gut feeling.
Your body. Yeah, all of it. All of us.
This is really important because it all connects together and it aligns you as a being. But again, a lot of this is what we input into our system and the way we look at things, the way we take the information in, the way we distill the information, how we live our lives, what's important to us. I think there's an emotional stress factor here with all of this. I really appreciate, Missy, you sharing that story. Really very timely with your son as well, because that's an important story. And it makes me think right away, what about the people who lose a child? Emotions, it's the reason they're never the same again. You hear this from people who they lose a child from death, and you oftentimes hear the say, well, a child, you know, a parent never wants to outlive their child. They always think their children will outlive them, clearly, you know. And the impact of some of those people is severe. I mean, severe. They're never the same again.
Right. Exactly. Losing a child has to be the worst thing that could possibly happen. I mean, I that for me, that would be the one thing in my life that would bring me to my knees. But with a broken heart, there are physical things going on, as everybody has said. So, you know, when you're happy and you have endorphins going on and all of your blood vessels are opened up, then that's great. But when your heart is broken, you have the opposite reaction and everything is constricting and your blood flow is being constricted and it has to affect you physically. And that's probably why we see so many people that are married couples and one partner dies and 3 days later, the other partner dies.
Yeah.
So they just can't go forward with that because they are having those physical complications. And it could be, as someone said here, I think it was Missy, it could be someone who just pushes your buttons like crazy, that you have the same kind of reaction. You know, I've had people in my life that so push my buttons that I can't be around them because I can feel that physical change. And I like to be a really calm person. And if somebody brings that on in me, then I, you know, make it a point to not be around that kind of person. But I could absolutely see. I mean, I remember when I was young having broken hearts, and I can still remember today the feelings that I had, the physical feelings, you know, of I can't breathe, I can't stop crying, I can't talk to anybody. It has to be something that definitely would affect your body over time if you can't find an outlet to, you know, help you release that.
And that's the real key is the releasing. And so in these studies, they show, like, in our Western society, we just hold it all in, right? We just like keep, or Western and, you know, British, and like, you know, when that generic Western society is just
push
like, you keep
down.
Going and you buck up and get over it and don't be a sissy and all this kind of stuff. And you should just move on. And when you do that, it stays in your system. And I think of it like undigested food. So it like rots and then it grows mold and then it keeps growing until you actually deal with it.
Yeah.
That's a word picture, Jenna.
Yep. I find ways of making this make sense so that, you know, people can get it.
It's a great conversation. And let me throw something else in the mix here about people who have heart transplants. These organs have memory and the DNA from God knows how far back, and they all of a sudden will be craving, you know, a vegan burger when maybe before they ate a lot of meat or, you know, whatever. It's very interesting.
Yeah,
particularly
there's
heart.
You're always on a one-track mind, Missy Crutchfield. I love
it. You know it.
Everything comes back to that. It's so hysterical.
If somebody ever gets my heart, that'll be an interesting thing.
Well, it's your mantra in life. It's what you stand for. It's who you are. And so that means plenty. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. We all have to have our passions and our desires, you know. It gets really, really interesting, people. We'll be back in a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Really very interesting conversation, people. Jenna Smith is here, Missy Crutchfield, Linda Martinelli. And so this whole thing about can you have multiple soulmates? Is that even possible? Let me start there because I want to circle the wagons on this topic here. Linda, can you have possible soulmates, or is it just, are we just allowed one to a customer through a lifetime?
Oh, I think that there are so many people that could be your soulmate. I mean, just think about it, Malcolm. You can't even possibly believe that, you know, wherever you live, that you're going to find that person in your little geographical area when the world is as big as it is. So if you move somewhere else, you could find another person. I just believe that there are so many people that could be your soulmate in life. And you, wherever you are, you find one of those people. But I absolutely don't believe that there's one person for anybody.
So Linda, so if you lost let's talk about this now. So if you lost that one person you thought was your soulmate, you're saying that there's definitely could be another one or another one. It's not just one per customer then.
Oh, I think that there's numerous people that could be your soulmate.
All right. Yeah. I want to tell you as well, Linda, I got thinking here just a moment. I love the way you referenced geographically. I think just what you just said is what I think about all the time. It's amazing to me, Linda, how one decision in your life can change everything. And I always think about this. It's crazy, Linda. But I'm always thinking about, like you just said, I mean, you summed it up really well, geographically, or what happens in that area or at that moment of life. I mean, let's face it, ladies, everything in life is timing. Timing. Timing means everything. I mean, it's being right at the right set, the right time in your mind that anything is going to work. Because if you're in the wrong place, the wrong moment, the wrong time, you know, you could meet your soulmate on a sidewalk somewhere and never even know it because you got your head up your ass, you understand? And this happens. This is for real. I'm not just
And that's saying. The key, Malcolm. What you just said is the key, is that you have to open yourself up to an opportunity. Mm. And so many people who say that they're looking for somebody they have those horse blinders on and they don't see, you know, what's going on around them. And so, you have to open up all those walls and let somebody in and make yourself a little bit vulnerable. And I just think so many people could be a soulmate.
All right.
I
Very
love the Sex and the City show. They say your cab light's on. Like, no one knows that you're available as a cab if your cab light isn't on. So you have to have your cab light on.
Oh, that's great. I never heard that.
But Jenna, what if you forget to press the button?
Well, you got to press the damn button, Malcolm.
Okay,
I don't think a
darling.
Taxi driver that wants to make money is going to forget to press the button.
Well, I love it. I love it. I see an article with that in the future. Press your damn button, mister.
You make the choice and then it energetically happens. Like, and then, you know, I see it happen all the time when I work with so many people, right? So you can see these phenomenons happen. Okay, let's decide to focus on this. And then what happens? A bunch of messages, random this, random that, more attention at the supermarket. So it's an energetic thing, you know?
It is. It's definitely an energy that you put out that either says, don't talk to me, stay away from me, or I'm open for business. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is definitely an energy. And I think it makes a huge difference in who talks to you. And then who knows what happens from that, you know, it's just like little dominoes falling.
Interesting. I like this idea of the energy you put out, that when you say, Linda, I'm open for business or I'm not. I want to ask you, Missy, I want to go right to you a moment here. Now, in your life, let's measure that with what Linda just said to you a moment. In your life, since you're a single woman, you have a son,
yep.
Do you find yourself closed-minded or are you open-minded to what's out there? Like, because I know Jenna and Linda are both in relationships specifically. I don't think you are, or maybe you are, I don't know. But so how does that work? Do you put your cab light on, as Jenna calls it, or is it off?
You know, I hear it. I don't disagree with what the ladies are saying at all. I think that's probably the best advice generally to put out there. For me personally, I kind of work a little different. I think most of the time when I've had a really great relationship, it's when I wasn't looking. It's when the cab light wasn't on. I was so busy, but I was really happy and fulfilled and bouncing and smiling because my work and my life and my give back and my purpose is so, and they're just attracted to you, get hit all the time. It's like, wow. And then I just don't have the space in my life, which is where I am right now. But once my son kind of gets a little more off, then there's space. But you've got to, you know, if you put the cab light on, if you really want a relationship, want one, then I think what we were sort of circling around earlier is people, you know, the blinders, they're looking for somebody. They need to stop looking for somebody, some certain thing, because if you're going to be open to something new and different in your life, then entertain the idea that maybe you don't know exactly what that person looks like or sounds like or what their job is, and just be open to something amazing coming in that'll fulfill you. Just clear your closet and create that room either way and commit yourself. So you can't ask for a relationship to come in that's going to take a significant amount of space when you have a partner in your life if you don't have the space and don't have the time. And that's kind of where I am right now. But in the future, you know, I'll go bouncing around perhaps and say that then maybe then it happens. But I'm really kind of good and filled in my life right now. My priority is my son and my work.
Mm-hmm. Missy said something there that was really important, and that's that she's happy. And that's the first key to me to finding a good relationship, is to be happy with your own self and your own relationship with yourself, because then you have something to offer in a relationship to somebody else. And that is just absolutely the first biggest step that.
But a lot of people don't do that step, Linda.
Right.
That's a big deal. Big deal. Yeah.
And that's why. And the other thing that Missy said, which I agree with, is kind of funny, because people make lists of, you know, I want somebody that's 6'3" with, you know, full head of hair with da-da-da. I did the same thing for myself. But the first thing I did is made myself happy with myself, right?
Yes.
But then I had my little list of things that, you know, well, I'd like this kind of person, I'd like to have this kind of career, and that is absolutely not who I am married to. So, you know, where I had I want the 6 foot tall, you know, full head of hair type of guy, one that can fix things all around the house and all these great little things that I thought. And I, you know, Ron is not a tall guy. He's bald. But he's totally my soulmate. So, you know, I should. And luckily for me, I didn't limit myself to what I thought I wanted, because what I thought I wanted and what I'm really happy with are two different things.
Yes.
Well, physical appearance is not the whole thing. But Linda, there are a lot of people who are shallow, who run around their life doing the physical appearance kind of thing. And boy, these people have shortchanged their entire life. You know, quite frankly, with you and your relationship and knowing Ron, Dr. Ron, I mean, I got to tell you, you know... I mean, the man is how do you say, not only brilliant, but he is, I mean, he should be what any woman would want in somebody who is, you know, as far as having a soulmate who is, you know, just a connection. I mean, and the reason you can see that is you can generally see people that are in love or have the passion for each other in such a way, because you can see that in their eyes. You can also see that in their body language, you know, the things that they do and the things that they say. So, listen, anybody could only be so lucky but to find that soulmate. I want to ask you something, Linda. Before, in your case, before you were in this, the marriage you're in with Dr. Ron, I know you were married before, you had children. Did you consider that your soulmate, your first, have you found other soulmates beside Ron in your life that you thought that this is it?
Well, sure, because I got married to one.
Right.
And what I discovered really is probably, and by the way, he's still one of my very best friends in life. And he's a friend of Ron's now too. He probably should have been my brother instead of my husband, where we, you know, I still think the world of him, Malcolm. It's just that we shouldn't have been married, because where I want to go and the things I want to do in life, I'm a very active person, and he was not. He was a police officer as well, and we just didn't have the same kind of goals in life. But after so many years, we still are the best of friends. So, you know, was it the same soulmate that I have now? No. I mean, Ron and I definitely have that great relationship, but I'm not foolish enough to think if something happened to him tomorrow that I wouldn't or couldn't be happy with somebody else. That's not something where my mind goes, because I don't ever intend on not being with Ron for the rest of my life. So, you know, but I don't think that it's impossible to find someone else.
Well, that's just setting your expectations up is what it is. Knowing that life can sometimes throw curveballs your way,
sure.
Right? And you don't really know what's happening. Jenna, you're not married, right, Jenna? You're just in
no.
a great relationship, right?
Yep. Yeah. So I think that we're in a reductionist society, and it's a bit annoying. It's like one soulmate and this doop-a-doop and you go here, and it's like a freaking conveyor belt. And that's not life. There's all of these different people thrown together, mm-hmm. and who you decide to be in your life will attract certain other aligned magnetic souls
yes.
that will help you become that and will either be partners on that path, like Reason, Season, Lifetime. I've had some, you know, dating somebody and discover things about myself, and then you have to be willing to get off of the whole, this is my thing forever.
Yeah.
Forever. It's like, maybe it's not forever. Maybe it shouldn't yeah. be. Because I think I go through this with a lot of male clients, is they'll kind of get a crush on me because they feel love and support and trust. Yeah. And they don't understand how to feel those feelings unless it's romantic. It's like, mm-hmm. actually, we can all have those feelings, because their love isn't a romantic thing.
Well, Jenna, comes down to the fact that that age-old question that I hear a lot, what you just said and described, is can men and women just
can
be friends and not have a sexual relationship? Jenna, can they be?
I think they absolutely can. Yeah. I have some guy friends that are like, no, they can't. So they can't. They absolutely can't, because they know they can't. But I have great guy friends, and we say, I love you, and they have their partner, and they know each other because they are like family, soul family. Like,
exactly.
We get each other. I would never want to be in a partnership with them.
Right.
Love them. No.
I agree with that. I agree with that, Jenna.
But
I think,
can still love them. Yeah.
Yeah. I never bought the whole thing about when people would say that. In fact, the people that would ask that question typically that I find, Jenna, when they say, well, men and women can't be friends, these are some of the most dysfunctional people I find anyways, you know, because they're trying
to... living in that animalistic reaction.
Exactly.
I don't mean this to be rude.
They want to screw...
Like,
no, don't be rude. Be real. I mean, you're being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they want to screw everything that moves.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, those are just
what kind of person is that to start with?
Well, there's a lot of them out there. What do you mean, Linda?
Well, sure, but that's not. I mean, that's not a relationship material kind of person.
You know what? Until they fall in love. So I used to be in the fitness industry. So I'm like, talk about testosterone, and you know,
right?
And then they would meet someone, and they talked about her differently, and they acted differently, and you know what happened? Their heart opened. Their heart became more significant in their whole being than the other parts that were running.
So that left ventricle was really strong, wasn't it, Jenna?
It wasn't before.
Exactly.
In the wrong way.
Exactly. The Japanese would say, that left ventricle is really strong there, man. You're in love. You're pumping the heart. It's good.
Yeah, they were able to see with their heart, which means it doesn't have to be 6'5", athletic build, blah blah. We talked about body image before, right?
They're
a soul that enhances you.
All right.
Exactly.
All right. So here is, now let me make a little bit of a curve here or a U-turn, Jenna, because I want to ask you something that I wanted to make sure we covered here, because this is a topic I think you sort of understand and get. As a psychotherapist yourself, I definitely wanted you in on this conversation. Happy you're here. Now, let me ask you, let's get to the bones of this thing and ask you
okay.
this.
Okay.
All right.
Serious.
So let's get serious a minute here. So talk to me a moment. You have people you know in your life who had found that soulmate, somebody who they really loved, who they thought it was going to be a connection, and they're not together anymore. How does that person get over that? How does that person move on? How does that person strengthen the left ventricle? How does that person, when they know that maybe the timing wasn't right or something, but that relationship that should have been was elusive and slipped right through their fingers,
mm-hmm.
and they probably beat themselves up on a regular basis?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I actually had this in my 20s. The man I was with in my 20s, pretty much for the entire 20s, we were like so in love. Like we were like the, you know, like the Notebook, like that's how our friends would see us. They're like, oh, there they are. You know, we were that, you know what, we weren't compatible for the long haul. He wanted this, I wanted that. So that being said, I have personal experience with this, like felt ripped apart, felt like my best friend was dead, like just like really deep emotions, and very much on a soulmate, like if you're to speak of soulmate level. Now, I was really lost because I was young and I hadn't done all the training I've done now and become who I am now. I go through it very differently now. What I realized was, again, on that soul level, I believe that there's timelines. Like I actually really believe this, on one timeline, one version of me is still with him. And we did the whole simple life and I didn't become the person I'm supposed to be, which is to be, you know, on stages and to affect.
So mentally on one timeline, you're still with him.
Energetically, mentally, that would be.
So you're actually cheating on your current date then.
Oh, I'm not there. We're two completely different people.
I know.
But so I do believe that there's multiple realities happening.
Interesting.
And then, so that's something. And then I believe his soul decided to leave because I wouldn't have become my fullest. He loved me enough to leave and put that circumstance of events in place because I needed to not be in that relationship. I went to a psychic, and I always find that fascinating. I take it with a grain of salt, and I don't listen to someone else's what my future is going to be. I just go like, oh, is that confirmed? Does that give me information? But she said, yeah, you can be with this person. You'll be super happy, but you won't be your fullest soul expression. Or you can go over here. So let's go to tangible things. You have to go within. And on my website, jennasmithcoaching.com, there's a heart breathing exercise you get. And that heart breathing exercise, you put your hands on your heart and you breathe and you feel that space, activates that magnetic center. So that, yeah, you might feel uncomfortable. You might feel pain. You might feel all those icky feelings that you've shoved down there, but then you're not carrying them around with you. I am a big believer in journaling, more so even sometimes than counseling. I tell my clients to journal because there's a counsel with you and your own self, your own deep core self, that surpasses anyone else's counsel. As you create a relationship with yourself on what does this mean for you? What did you learn from this? What are you taking from this? And that wisdom that emerges from the mind chatter can happen because you're in flow, you're writing, you're in your body, you're connected to your heart. That is amazing. And grieving. Most people don't grieve. Once you've grieved their presence, there's space for you to feel, okay, oh, I see why we're not together. And you can see clearly with the expectation we should have been together. If you're so attached to, and I went through this with this other man, we should have been together. That can just run your life and you'll never get over it.
So how did you get over that?
It was interesting. There was a series of synchronicities, which are events that happen that lead you to truth, your own truth. And they happen in repetition usually. I was in Florida with my mom. I was so heartbroken because we were on and off and on and off and like trying to figure it out. And I picked this woman, gave me this book called Radical Forgiveness. And I read the book and there was this one, I can't even remember the paragraph, Malcolm, but I'm sitting beside the pool in Florida. You know, maybe we walked by each other. And I read this passage and I got it. I got that on a deeper level, we didn't have to be together. That we didn't, that expectation was my expectation. It was something I, you know what I mean? In that limited mind.
And you read this, you're saying? You read it?
I read something that sparked that truth within me. So it woke me up.
I see.
It said something around, and this was this piece around him leaving was the catalyst for me to become more me, because I was becoming too dependent on him. I was meant to be my own person. Right. So I do believe that the heartbreak that doesn't heal is there's an attachment to, on a mental level, you're right, it is a mental level, what should have been.
Yeah.
Attachment is keeping the wounds. It's like you're scratching.
That's a good way to put it. Well, again, I'm reading here the broken heart syndrome. It's really what we're talking about, broken heart syndrome. This heart test you mentioned a moment ago, Jenna, on your site and all, is that something that's easy to do for people?
Yes.
Yeah. So could we all do that together just after the pause here? Can we? I'd like to do that. If you could pull that together here, let's do this heart thing. Jenna, are you up for it, Missy and Linda?
Sure.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Linda said absolutely, and Missy, that was sure. What was that? That wasn't a confident sure. Okay.
It was sort of like a ooh.
Missy's holding back here. That's what she's worried here. All right, we're going to try this heart thing in just a moment. More life, liberty, in just a moment, friends. Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. All right, we're talking here the broken heart syndrome. This is a really interesting conversation, I believe, for both men and women. And I knew that it would be, because our whole life, friends, is based on relationships. It's based on having the right person in your life, I think, and your health and well-being, it's all connected. Again, think about your brain, your heart, your gut. You're all interconnected here in your system. And I like the way we've talked about some of this early on, and journaling your feelings, Jenna says, and being careful of, you know, get it down. You counsel yourself. You're your own best counsel, she's saying. Well, that's fascinating. Linda says, yeah, you can have more than just one soulmate. It's a matter of, and it's true, though, people. Geographically, the timing in your life, where you're at, I always say everything in life is timing. You just never know what's going to happen at that moment of time. And I also like the reference that Missy makes to the point that, you know, sometimes that special person, heart, that place in your life, or that's hurting you, that's crippling your emotional well-being, it may not just be a love interest. Think about it. It could absolutely be a child, could be a sibling. It could be somebody you're very, very close to, connected with, very fond of. Obviously, you have a passion and love for this person. So I think that takes it just out of the aspect of this is a partner, you know.
I just want to add, I think some people have animal soulmates too.
Animal soulmates.
Deeply connected. Yeah. And I love my little fur babies. And people, my friend lost her horse and it was like losing her partner.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's interesting. I know some people that act like animals, Jenna, but that's another story for another day. Maybe not the animal soulmate. All right, Jenna, let's do this heart thing now. What do you call this now? You go ahead and tell
us. I call it heart breathing. Okay. Because it's that simple. So you place your hands on your chest, kind of in the middle of your chest, where you'd consider where your heart is. Both hands.
Okay.
When you first start. When you start to do it after a while, you don't have to do both hands. So then you place your hands there, relax your shoulders. It's just place your hands in a way that you don't have to stress. Then pretend. So close your eyes if you can, if it's safe. And if not, you can do this with your mind. And you feel the hands there. So you breathe. You feel your hands. That's it. So you breathe, you feel your hands on your chest. And then it's like you take an elevator down from your mind, feeling the hands on your chest. You breathe and you feel your hands on your chest. And the elevator comes down your neck, down into your chest, and then it opens and you're in your chest area. And as you breathe, you feel the space underneath, right beneath where your hands are. That's it. You feel the space right beneath your hands. And if the elevator kind of bounces back up to your head, you just bring it back down. And it's like your eyes are looking out from your chest. You're that centered and present to the space right underneath your hands. And you breathe as deeply as is natural for you. And eventually you also feel the space between your hands, so the front of your chest, and your back shoulder blades. Releasing your shoulders, releasing your eyes, releasing your forehead, feeling that space underneath your hands.
Oh, this feels good, baby.
Mm-hmm. And now, yes, how heavy do you do
the breathing, Jenna? How heavy or how light?
You let your body, that's where you let your body take over. So like you breathe what feels normal and natural, but as you do this exercise, you will sync up your body rhythm. And your body will breathe in the most resourceful way for you at the time. And then if you feel like you're constricting, add more breath. Just take a deep breath, hold it for a moment, and then release. Because if you're bringing up heartbreak and grief, you might need to add more oxygen.
Jenna, could this also be considered any form of self-meditation?
100%. There's many different types of meditation.
Yeah.
It's just so easy for people, again, Western minds, do this for 2 minutes. To 1 minute, go to the bathroom. I have one client who's convinced he's so busy. I'm like, do it when you're having a bowel movement. Who cares? You're already there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, do it at red lights or, you know what I mean? There's all of this space within our day to activate this resourceful center. And as you do that, it grows just like anything. It's like push-ups for your heart center.
Mm.
Very good. Linda, what do you think?
Oh, that was great. And you know, I have my own little way that if my blood pressure goes up for some reason, I don't put my hands over my heart, but that's a great way to do it. But I can absolutely take that elevator down and bring my own blood pressure down and just calm myself in a situation that I need to. So I think that this is a great thing for people to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's all about taking the elevator down, huh?
Yeah, and eventually you don't have to have your hands there, but for most people, they're so mind-dominant. Their mind's going like a hamster on a wheel, and it's just like, oh, my hands, and feeling the space under my hands. And it's an anchor to bring our mind to something, like a babysitter.
Right.
Like, okay, bring your mind here, bring your mind
right,
here.
Right, just slow it down, right?
Exactly, yeah. Right. It's a very helpful segue. And then once you do feel the heart center, it has a very specific sensation and feeling. You can repeat that without needing to put your hands there eventually.
Very interesting. Very, Malcolm, very interesting, Jenna. Yeah.
You asked a question a little bit ago about, you know, what do you do when somebody loses somebody in a relationship, and how do you get back to, you know, kind of feeling that you can move on from that? And I think just for my past, I would get to a point, you have to go through that grieving. That's a big thing. You have to let yourself go through the grieving. But then I would always focus on, let me try to be the best me that I can be, the best person to be a partner to somebody, you know, and that just helped me along my way, because now I'm focusing on something inward instead of something outward going on, and try to make myself be that next best partner for the person that's going to come along in my life. And then I just try to see a relationship as, you know, those three circles. So you have me and you have my partner, and then you have that circle in the middle that is our life together. But nobody loses their whole individuality by being a partner. And Jenna, when you were talking about, you know, the relationship that you had, and you said that you were really becoming that too much involved in that relationship, and maybe that person felt that, and then they kind of feel smothered. I don't know, but that happens in a lot of relationships where one or the other partner feels kind of smothered because the person is investing their entire self in that relationship instead of that healthy mix of two people and a relationship.
Mm-hmm. That actually reminds me, I totally forgot, Linda, that I realized either I have to let this go and they come back, or I have to let this go and I'm whole and complete. And that made so much sense to me that that's what I did. And then we did get back together. It wasn't a smothered thing. It was this really interesting soul dynamic happening. Very, very interesting. But the either or of either way, you need to let it go and become your full self, no matter what. Either they come back or you find someone else. Like, it's the solution. So that was actually another piece to that I'd forgotten about. You're right. Totally.
And I do think that life has a way of, when these things happen, that it's making room for that right person to come in.
Right.
Instead of staying in a relationship, because a good relationship to me shouldn't be pulling at your partner for anything. It shouldn't be constantly having to pull them to get the affection you need, or push them to do things, or, you know, you don't want to have that tug of war all the time. And it just opens up the whole karma to let that next right person be there for you.
Yeah, that's tricky, Linda. I hear exactly what you're saying, and it's really well
said. And
that's
not love. That's need, right? So there's
what
is a difference. It? Like love, well, like those people that are like, I need you to feel loved. It's like, you need to feel loved and right. then experience the love together. And so that neediness is actually not love. That's your ego neediness. That's your unworthiness showing up. That's your, you know what I mean? And most people won't see it that way. But really, like, true love is you're whole, I'm whole. And you work towards that together.
So, Jenna, talk about a moment here. These people who are in a relationship, you see them out there a lot, and they probably don't have that obvious connection that we're talking about here, being with the whole thing around this broken heart syndrome. But they're more or less, it's a relationship of convenience, more or less. Somebody is, well, as you just said, Jenna, they're dependent on the other person. And there's a dependency clause there. And they consider it, well, we're in a relationship. See, there's an old way of thinking here, people. And it really is different. And if you go back, you know, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years, you know, relationships went on for a long time. I mean, people were married for a very long time. There wasn't, the divorce rate was very low. Today, it's through the stratosphere. I mean, people just get in and out of relationships frequently. It wasn't like that back then. People stayed in relationships. So a lot of people were miserable, Jenna. I'm just being real here.
I know, because they were enforced to stay in a relationship.
They were, Jenna. I'm very serious. I'm very serious. I mean, my own mother and father could be in that same camp. They're both not here anymore. They were married 53 years, Jenna. And they were in a very, were they passionately in love? No. They were there as a marriage of convenience with seven children. You know, you just knew that. When it all changed, I have no idea. But I could see that very clearly.
Sad way to live, right?
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, why should
you be together?
You only get, as I always say, Malcolm, you only get every day one time.
Right.
So we have to make the best of it. And when there are so many options in life, even if that option is being by yourself and being happy that way, why not go for that?
So there's the societal expectations of who you should be. And then sometimes the religious implications and some, you know what I mean? You should be married. You should be this. You should be that. And
I,
you know, here's the real thing is that I think everyone, those people, like at the beginning, you had said that they go around and it seems like a marriage of convenience. I think we're all operating at different levels of consciousness, and that's where they're at. And they don't have to be different. They're doing them, and that makes sense to them. And I'm cool with that. It's those that desire more.
Right.
Those are the, if you want more of life, if you want more love, more
That's
fulfillment,
true.
More an expression of who you truly are, then that path looks a little bit different normally.
All right.
But if you're just like, cool, hey, let's do the thing. Let's do the checklist. I call it the societal checklist. Then go nuts.
Right. You know,
nothing wrong with it.
One of the things, Jenna and Linda, I've noticed on this production today, more so toward the end of it, we're doing some pretty serious talking. I'm enjoying the conversation, but I'm noticing our dear friend Missy is very, very quiet, by the way. Now, my guess is, this is a, you're taking it all in, Missy. This is kind of a really interesting conversation, but it's also kind of a sensitive conversation to you, isn't it?
Well, you know, absolutely. And I am taking it in, and I agree with almost everything that's being said. And I'm so happy that we're doing so much talk about the heart and the importance of the heart. And when Jenna was talking about look through your heart, and what she was doing was, you could call that a guided meditation. And the breathing is, you know, breathing is so healing. It's also part of yoga and meditation. It's pranayama, is the breathing. And these things are so important for our overall good health and calming down in an age in a society of stress epidemic and disease that's stress related and all of that. And then it reminds me of a movie that I rewatched recently called Eat, Pray, Love, and you've probably all seen. And Kutut, right? I think he passed away a few years ago, or well, not too long ago. And he was telling her, he says, Jill, you need to look from your heart. And he gave her this picture with the eyes at the heart. He said, always look from your heart from now on. He said, that way you'll always look good.
Wow.
But we should be looking from our heart and feeling from our heart. And yes, connect to the thinking to the heart and both things together. But, you know, very mindfully, very intentionally, putting more energy and more focus on the things that are important to our heart.
Missy, that Eat, Pray, Love, isn't that a book as well?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes.
You don't know her name offhand, do you, real quick?
Elizabeth Gilbert.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think she's been on the platform here. I believe she was a guest or something on one of the shows. I remember the whole story behind that. Yeah.
It's so good. Yes.
Yeah. I remember.
I feel like I've traveled so similar because the guru in the book, in the movie, is the one that I had my first intensive with in the 80s. Mm-hmm. She was with Chitvilasananda. She became Guru Mai. Right. And when Nityananda died, she came on board. So all of this, I feel like I'm traveling this parallel journey to the book. So I'm going to Italy in a few weeks. So that's going to be my eat part.
Yeah, you'll be you're gonna
bring
come
a new
back.
Pair of pants that's one size bigger. Yeah, that's right. Do that.
All right, let's give best advice in our last moments here. This whole relationship of the broken heart syndrome, and looking for that that special someone in your life, because let's face it, men and women both, to be connected to a person, to be connected to a soulmate, as we put our asterisks, our fingers up, you know, soulmate. To do that is really, I think it's obviously a passion for almost everybody. And I don't know many people that I would say, yeah, they want to live alone all their life. They want to be a hermit. I mean, I don't think that's a goal of a lot of people. Though there are some people who are pretty miserable who probably would do well by that.
Lindy, the Dalai Lama believed that, though.
He's miserable or what?
No, he's like, he said some great quote sometime about, oh, why aren't you married? And he's like, have you met married people? It was so funny. It was just
that is
I want to be peaceful.
That is so true. Peaceful. Yeah. Have you met married people?
I agree.
So there is no, Mrs. Dalai Lama. Are you the Mrs. Dalai Lama? No, she don't exist. He's a happy dude. All right. Well, I get that, Jenna. Right? So best advice, let's start with, Linda, let's start with you. What's the best advice you have for people? No, someone who's in a wonderful relationship and you're at a beautiful time of life. You're living it. I'm so proud of you and all the work you're doing out there and your relationship. And you're amazing, Linda Martinelli. So tell us what the secret is, please.
Thank you, Malcolm. You know, I think somebody told me a very long time ago, they were relating a story, and I've never forgotten it. And it's really about when your significant other comes home, or even when you're looking for a relationship, would I want to be married to me? Would I want to come home to me? And therefore you try to make yourself be that person that somebody wants to come home to.
That is a great point. That is a great point.
Yeah, it's never left me. And you really have to think about it, because when we all feel like acting like a little baby at times, and I'm no different than anybody else, and neither is my husband,
right,
then we have to stop and think like,
I like that, Linda. You know,
The other person looking at here?
Yeah, so we all could do a self-analysis. That's great advice, people, that Linda puts out there. Do a self, you know, would you want to come home to you? And if you think about that just a moment, I bet you a lot of you would say, oh, hell no, that's probably, I don't. I didn't even think of it that way. Because then you say, well, but what are you doing when that person comes home? And maybe you're not, kind of makes you think, doesn't it?
It's a sobering thought.
It is a sobering thought. Because you're expecting somebody to do what you think think is the perfect person, but yet you're not really doing what you could do to be your perfect person. So
exactly.
That's kind of is a really very unique way. All right, Missy, we're right down to the wire here. 30 seconds. What's your best advice?
Oh, just dance and smile. And
I love it. Dance, smile, and what?
I got busted in the grocery store dancing. One of the cashiers is like, I saw you dancing. I was dancing with my card. I was so happy I found heart-healthy Bisquick, which is vegan and no palm oil, which is killing the rainforest, right? So I'm like, I can make vegan biscuits. And I started dancing. The song was great. And they were laughing at me at the front. And we were all smiling and laughing. Just enjoy your life. Go for it.
Yeah. You are always smiling, Missy. That's a good thing. You all are. You're all well planted here. All right, Jenna.
Yeah.
We saved you to tell us what's the real lesson here.
Well, all of those are relevant. They're the same. Be a whole and complete person yourself, and then have discernment. Just because you're excited by somebody doesn't mean you're in love with them. So have discernment about, is this a partnership? And I wrote, actually, perfect timing, the 6-date no touching rule talks about this, how to spend 6 dates with getting to know this other human being and to actually spend the time to get to know this person. And if you still can hang out and adore each other, awesome. If you enhance each other, awesome. If you don't, you know,
interesting.
Make some choices. So yeah. Have discernment, you know, be yourself, have discernment.
Yeah. The advice is tremendous here. It really, really is for all of us, for men and women, because, you know, we all desire to be desired. You know, we all want to be that person, not only have that special person in our life, but to be that special person to someone else. What greater gift could there possibly be, friends, when you really think about it? You know, everything is a choice. Life is a gift. And I think it's about time we all realize that. If we don't realize it now, I hope you've learned that through the whole season here. Yeah, life is a gift. We need to treat it as such. Need to treat every day as that special gift, friends. Thank you, as always, for being part of this conversation today on life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. Jenna Smith, Missy Crutchfield, Linda Martinelli. This is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued, friends.